following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 18th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Happy Wednesday. Appreciate you being with me. And yes, I say with me because I am alone in the studio. No Christian Griffin. As of now, he will be in momentarily as he is making his way back from Montgomery. He had Lee Scott basketball this morning, girls and boys playing in the regional tournament. And unfortunately, it did not go the way they were hoping. And so the Lee Scott girls and the boys both come up short. The girls lost to St. James. Boys lost to Montgomery Academy. It was an early wake-up call for Christian. He had to be down and on the air about 8:45 this morning in Montgomery, so he'll be in shortly, but we'll get the show started here old-school style here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. You and me for a little bit here to get the show started, and a lot to go over on today's show. We talk about the news for Auburn basketball as they head to Stark Vegas tonight, and Keyshawn Hall will not only be with them, he'll be on the floor as well. He'll dress out and play tonight after not playing this past weekend. We'll talk about that, what that means for Auburn, and how you could see a desperate Tigers team this evening in Starkville. We'll talk about that. Plus, no Jordan Hill today as we normally do, but we replace him just for today. We replace him with a head coach at Auburn of Auburn Gymnastics, Jeff Graba. We'll have an interview with him coming up at 2:30, we've had the pleasure of talking with him pretty much every 2 weeks here on the show throughout gymnastics season, previewing home meets and kind of recapping the schedule up to this point. And so going to talk to head coach Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics at 2:30, previewing the Iron Bowl this weekend. That's right, Auburn and Alabama, and talk about a gymnastics team that's getting better. They just got to get healthy. So that's coming up at 2:30. Plus, we'll talk some baseball from last night where Christian and I may not be allowed to go back to Plainsman Park this year since the first game we go to, Auburn lost to Cincinnati. So we'll talk about that. Plus, our man Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the Barn and Auburn basketball and Mississippi State. So all of that on today's show, and you can be a part of it. Outside of our two wonderful guests, we want you to call in, text in, give us your thoughts on today's stuff. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number if you want to call in your thoughts on Keyshawn Hall playing tonight against Mississippi State. 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And it was reported yesterday that Keyshawn Hall will have a one-game suspension for Auburn, where it was originally suspended inevitably, and for Auburn in this particular scenario, inevitably meant one game, as Auburn will have its leading scorer back. It is confirmed that he will play on Wednesday night, that is today, against Mississippi State, according to the SEC availability report, right? And so that is something that Auburn fans have been looking for. There were a lot of Auburn fans who were upset at the idea that he didn't play last Saturday against Arkansas, right, in a game that you lost by 13. And look, a lot of fans felt if Keyshawn Hall plays, maybe you win, right? Maybe you win if you have a guy who averages 20-plus. And while I don't believe it's fair to look at the box score or the final score and say, well, Auburn lost by 13. He averages 20, tells me Auburn wins the game by 7. It's not really how sports work, but I get what you're saying. Auburn is not a better team without Keyshawn Hall, right? Auburn is not a better team with Keyshawn Hall sitting on the bench in sweats. That's not what I'm saying at all. But Auburn and Stephen Pearl really decided to send a message and set a precedent that Keyshawn Hall was not going to play because what? He did not live up to the standard and expectations of our program. That's the quote that Stephen Pearl said about Keyshawn. He said he did not live up to the standard and expectations of our program. Now, we can sit here and debate over coffee all day if one game was good enough to send a message. If one game, right, was long enough for Keyshawn to clean up his act in whatever way that it was and now begin to live up to those standards and expectations. You can have your opinion. I'll have mine. I don't know, right? We're not in that locker room. But what we do know is Auburn is a desperate team tonight in Stark Vegas. Desperate tonight. And they're bringing their leading scorer back to make sure they win this game. And I'm not saying, because again, I don't know, whether Auburn and Stephen Pearl and the staff are making this decision because they truly need him and they don't want to risk losing this game without him, or if he really has cleaned up his act and everything is fine. I don't know. Right? I don't know. And nobody will. And anybody that claims to know doesn't. But what I do know is Auburn needs a win tonight. Auburn cannot afford to go on the road and lose to this Mississippi State team. And we'll talk more in detail in hour two and with Double D about this game. Right, Mississippi State's an under 500 team. They're 12-13 on the year. They're 4-8 in SEC play. But we know and we understand Auburn's historical resume inside the hump. It's not great. I've been there. I watched Auburn lose in that building several years ago. Not fun. Not exciting. And the few wins that Mississippi State has, they started SEC play 2-0. Did you know that? Do you remember that? They beat Texas on the road, and then they beat Oklahoma. After that, they lost 5 straight. They beat LSU. They lost 3 in a row. But coming off probably their best win of the season, at least scoreboard-wise, by blasting Ole Miss in Oxford 90-78. Now, I think that says more about Ole Miss than it does Mississippi State, but at least the Dogs are feeling good about themselves. Auburn doesn't feel good about themselves. Auburn doesn't feel good about where they are. Auburn can't figure out what's going on. Auburn doesn't know what they are. Auburn doesn't know who they are. And that's a scary spot to be in with 6 games remaining. A 4-game losing streak for Auburn with 6 games to go. And we talked yesterday about different bracketologies, right? Different predictions, different projections for the NCAA tournament for Auburn. You're holding pretty steady at an 8 or 9 seed right now, playing an 8 or 9 seed. And man, that's just such a coin flip. That's such a toss-up. That is such a, well, I guess we'll see what happens. Because historically, that's how that matchup goes. But I made this point yesterday, and I want to make it again today. Doesn't that sum up, at least right now, what this Auburn team is? Isn't this Auburn team on any given night a coin flip? A toss-up? Well, let's turn it on. Let's see what happens. Let's go to Neville. Let's see what happens. Isn't that what this team is? And wouldn't that be appropriate for them to get to the tournament and match up against a team that's just as good, if not better, than Auburn? That's the path we're barreling down. And to be quite honest, you're barreling down the path of missing the tournament if if you don't figure it out. If you don't turn it around. Because in the eyes of the committee, believe it or not, the four games in a row you just lost are not all that bad. At Tennessee, quad one loss. Home against Alabama, quad one loss. Home against Vanderbilt, quad one loss. Road game at Arkansas, quad one loss. And we've talked about the quad system before. And quad one games are basically, in simple terms, games against tournament teams. And so the four games in a row you just lost are against tournament teams, against good tournament teams. And in the eyes of the committee, that's okay. You don't necessarily have to win all those. But I don't really care what the committee thinks. I don't care what the committee says. I don't care what the numbers say about this Auburn team. In the eyes of the committee who don't watch Auburn, who could not tell you the starting five on any given night for this Auburn team. They couldn't. They couldn't do it. They don't know. Half of them don't even know Bruce Pearl retired. Auburn is 4-10 in quad one games. Pretty bad losing record, right? 4 wins, 10 losses. But here's the problem, and we've told you this before. All they care about is a couple of nice wins and a lot of quad one games. They just want you to play tough teams. They don't care if you win. They want you to win one or two just to prove that you can get there, to prove that you belong. But then after that, all they want you to do is play those games. And so for Auburn, you've done your job in terms of your resume, in terms of playing tough games, and a lot of that goes into your non-conference schedule, which you can thank Bruce Pearl for. But I don't care what the net rankings say. I don't care if KenPom says you're a good offense or not, or a good defense or not, or a good lucky team or not. What I'm seeing right now from this Auburn team is not good enough to make the NCAA tournament. Auburn, in my eyes, in the last 2.5-3 weeks, is not playing like an NCAA tournament team. On paper, they are. And in their good wins, they are. A win against St. John's in November, that was a tournament team. That win against Florida a couple of weeks ago, God, how long ago does that feel like now? In Gainesville, for the first time in a long time in the O-Dome, that was a tournament team that Auburn put on the floor. But man, we haven't seen that. We have not seen that team since the Florida game. Not in the win against Texas, not in the tough loss at Tennessee, not in a home loss against Alabama, a home loss in the midweek against Vandy, or that road trip in Fayetteville last Saturday night. And so I say all of that to say that Auburn is in trouble if you don't fix it right now. And while those four losses you just took, the tournament committee doesn't think they're all that bad, a road loss at Mississippi State would go down as pretty bad. It would go down as pretty darn bad because for Mississippi State, right, and the quad system goes off the net rankings, okay? Mississippi State is 94th in the net rankings. And by their metrics, that is a quad two game on the road. Quad two is not really where you want to have losses. You can survive, but Auburn's already got one. This would be one of your worst losses of the season if Auburn falls tonight. With games against Kentucky this weekend, Oklahoma on the road in the midweek, Ole Miss, LSU, both at home, and then a road trip to Tuscaloosa to end the regular season. Here's the issue, is Auburn is running out of opportunities to prove themselves against quality opponents. And for those of you who have listened to this show for the near 4 years that I've been doing it, you know I believe in one thing over everything in college basketball. One thing that I trust more than any metric, any number, any stat, anything. I trust the eye test. I trust my eyes, my vision, my evaluation of a team. I don't have a JG's rankings or anything. But I know how to pick a good team when I see one. And I know how to see a team that's going in the right or wrong direction. And I know what successful teams in the tournament historically are. For example, teams who rely on the three-point shot heavily throughout a regular season perform horribly in the NCAA tournament, historically. They get wins here and there, but they don't go very far because three-point shooting gets hot and gets cold. Guard play wins in March. Free throw shooting wins in March. Defending without fouling wins in March. Right, those are historical trends. That's why the greatest teams we've ever seen had those things. And when you look at this Auburn team, guard play is questionable. Todd is playing better, thankfully. And you better hope he turns it on the rest of the way. Defending without fouling is okay. Auburn's defense in general has not been great. Stephen Pearl's been on his team all season long about their defense. The last three games, you've given up 88, 84, 96 in your last three SEC games. Not good enough to get it done. And you're just not playing tournament basketball right now. So, I go back to my original statement that Auburn is borderline desperate tonight on the road at Mississippi State because I fear, and this is not having any inside data or any stat to back it up. This is my personal opinion, my personal feeling, that if you go on the road tonight to Starkville, even with Keyshawn Hall, again, that's how this whole segment started. Keyshawn Hall's back tonight for Auburn. You go into Mississippi State tonight and you lose this game to a team you're favored against in their own building and you lose your fifth in a row after all the drama that's been going on. If you can't rally from this against that team in an environment that'll probably be the easiest you've played in all season. If you can't rally from this, then you're done. You're done. You're going to crack. You're going to fold. You're going to crumble. Because there simply aren't enough opportunities for Auburn to fix it at this point. Remember us talking about that point in the season where you are who you are, where you don't change as a college basketball team once you pass a certain point in the season? There's no date. There's no time. There's no line, right? There's no big red circle on the calendar that says, okay, if you're not playing your best ball by February 8th at 9:32 p.m. on that night, you're not making the tournament, or you're not making a run, or you're not good enough, blah, blah, blah. There's no specific day, but for every team, there's a point in the season. And I think tonight could be it for Auburn. I think what we see on the floor tonight, can you get a good performance from Tahad Pettiford? Can you get a Keyshawn Hall who responds to the suspension and the benching that he got? Can you get an aggressive Keyshawn Murphy like you got in Fayetteville? And can you get, please, somebody else, not name those three, to step up and do something for you on the offensive end of the floor? Can you finally listen to your head coach and play good defense? Doesn't have to be great. Doesn't even have to be great. Just play good defense. And can you do those things against an inferior opponent where, funny enough, you could win the game without doing those things? But that's not what tonight is about. It's about winning, yes. It's about getting off a four-game skid, yes. But I look at the response and the attitude of this Auburn Tigers team tonight. If you see it look different, then maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a shot. Maybe there's an opportunity for Auburn to change its ways, change its identity, and get hot down the stretch, carry that into Nashville, and be a dangerous team in the NCAA tournament. But a road game like this, one that nobody's going to watch, nobody's paying attention, nobody outside these two fan bases cares. Can you turn it on? Can you respond? And can you act like you want to be there and make a run in this thing? Tonight could be it. As Keyshawn Hall returns for Auburn tonight against Mississippi State, we'll talk more on the game itself a lot in hour number two, but we'll take our first break here in the first hour. We'll take a look around other games around college basketball, what happened last night, and big games coming up tonight as well. Plus, Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, joins us at 2:30. All that coming up here as we're just underway on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are On the Line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and he did show up, in fact. He did show up to the studio. I just figured he would go home, and that would be the end of it. But Christian Griffin is here.
I thought about just staying in Montgomery.
Curling up in bed.
Actually, no, I didn't think about staying in Montgomery, but I thought about going home. Wednesday to you.
Yeah, Wednesday to you, sir. Well, we appreciate you stopping by and, of course, being a part of the show, but a 5:30 wake-up call was probably not enjoyable.
No.
And then a 5:30 wake-up call to go and watch both teams get beat for Lee Scott, unfortunately, is not what you were hoping for either. So congrats to both teams on a good season to get to the regional tournament. I know the girls were there for the first time ever, which is impressive. And I know disappointing results for both sides, though.
Yeah, it was. Again, the girls, you feared the outcome of what it could be, I guess, for both games here today. For the girls, it was a lot more of just the ability to get to the Sweet 16 for the first time in program history, I guess, again, in the short tenure of 2 years in the AHSAA. But the jump that Coach Corey Harrison and that squad continues to make needs to continue to be stated about how good of a coach she is, how good of a job the players have done. And that one definitely hurts, but only one senior, Miss Rayleigh Langford, for the varsity girls squad, 9 for the varsity boys. And so that was a much tougher pill to swallow. I know they had legitimate championship aspirations and expectations. And, man, through a quarter and a half of Lee Scott and Montgomery Academy, you really felt that. And got into talk with Coach William Johnson afterwards saying, man, it was just that second quarter. Every other score or every other quarter, you looked at the box score and every other stat matched. But you got outscored 21-9 in the second quarter. And after that, you're playing from about an 8-point deficit the entire time. And you felt like it was almost maddening how similar the teams played from that standpoint on. A bucket, a bucket. A stop, a stop. Mm-hmm. Free throws, free throws. To where, man, the lead gets back to 6. The lead is 10. The lead is 8. The lead is 12. The lead is 6. Like, it's just, it was maddening. But no, it was an incredible season. And yeah, you mentioned it. We don't know what days off here are on the Lee Scott Sports Network or the Auburn High Sports Network. And so all of a week until baseball. Yeah, not even a week. Yeah, well,
you're
6
on the
days.
Air Tuesday, right?
We are, yeah. Lee Scott plays tomorrow. And I had a couple people say, you coming to the game tomorrow? No.
No. Yeah, my Tigers are in we're down in Mobile and stuff playing games. Like,
okay, so
this
you get
week
the,
and this weekend,
get out of jail free card then.
Yeah, a little bit. I wish we could make the – and for postseason, we can. It's just tough, especially right now with basketball season and stuff. So, yeah, good season for Lee Scott basketball. You guys will have baseball starting up on the network next week. And obviously I know you were probably listening on the way in, but talking Keyshawn Hall back tonight for Auburn. And we'll dive into that with Double D of Daryl Dappert's Locked on Auburn coming up at 3:05. We'll also do a deep dive on Auburn and Mississippi State coming up at 3:30.
Yeah, again, I completely agree with the comments that you were making of, man, this is going to be one of the easier gyms that you've played in all year long. The hump has given Auburn trouble as of the past couple of years, but it's more so because that team is in desperation or that team is playing with absolutely nothing to lose, and they're playing at home against a top 10, top 15 Auburn team to where everybody shows up and they make the place hell. But a Mississippi State team that just got railed by Ole Miss, and an Auburn team that's 5-7.
Other way around.
It is the other way around. Yeah. So I guess they are.
So that makes it a little scarier.
It does. That is right. Yeah. I was thinking
it was a little confidence for Mississippi State. Yeah.
But even that being said, a 5-7 team in conference play, the Auburn Tigers, doesn't necessarily bring the same attraction to the student section, the same attraction to that fan base.
Did you say student section?
Yes. There will be the bananas there. There's always those four dudes that wear the bananas.
I was referencing Mick Cronin from UCLA because that's the question.
You think I care about the student section?
Are you raising your voice at me?
No, I'm not.
There's cameras here. Did you know that? For anybody that didn't see that,
I don't care about Michigan State student section. I coach at UCLA.
Mick Cronin, man. What?
After throwing his own player out.
Which I didn't hate. Well, let me rephrase. I don't know. I guess I don't know how to feel.
After watching the play, I'm more so okay with the player because, yes, it was more contact than you would have wanted down, 25 in the game?
Yeah.
But credit to him for not giving an open dunk.
And hustling down by that much. And then, to get thrown out. And then what I noticed, too, I don't know if you saw this, when the player got thrown out by Mick Cronin, the head coach for UCLA basketball, you know what he did? He ran off
the floor. He jogged off the floor, yeah.
He ran. He didn't sulk. He didn't turn around and argue. He turned around, touched his tail, and ran off the floor. And then Mick Cronin yelled at a reporter for asking, quote, maybe the stupidest question I've ever heard.
Yeah, he said, I want to give you kudos for it being the stupidest question because he asked what his thoughts were on the Michigan State student section chanting one of his players' names.
Coaches getting mad at media doing their job, man. A tale as old as time. A coach that doesn't get mad, though, Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics. He joins us here on ESPN coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And we continue a fun trend this season through the winter sports as Auburn Gymnastics continues to compete. They have a bunch of meets coming up, including this Friday when they're at home against Alabama. In the week of home meets, we get the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics joining us on ESPN 106.7, head coach Jeff Graba. Coach, we appreciate you taking the time this week. I know there's a lot going on. Your team's been traveling all over the place, and I'm sure you're ready to get back home.
Yeah, I'm ready to get a good night's sleep, that's for sure.
I can only imagine. Well, it's been a busy couple of weeks since the last time we had you here on the show and on the station, and I know that the overall results, right, the wins and losses haven't necessarily gone your way, but we talk every time that we have you on that the wins and losses, as crazy as it sounds, isn't all as important as it is in other sports. It's about your team's performance and your team's score. So what have you seen over the last couple of weeks against some really good competition?
Well, we've gotten better on events. So, you know, there's four events. We've gotten better on events. The problem is we're still struggling to put it together on all four events in the same night. You know, so we're having flashes of brilliance, but our consistency is questionable. So, you know, it's a different problem to solve. It's actually probably a better problem that we have the ability to score really high on the events and we just haven't put it together. I guess it's way better than not having the ability to score high on the events.
Sure.
So, it's a young team. We're really struggling right now with our confidence because, you know, we keep getting better in some areas, and it's sort of been like whack-a-mole. So when something's been popping up, a lot of reasons for that. You know, like you said, there's some injuries, there's some sickness, we're tired, that type of stuff. But those sound a lot like excuses when we should be able to conquer these.
Well, it sounds like you're just having to control the chaos, right? If there's always something happening and things that continue to pop up, I love that whack-a-mole comparison. That's really good. How do you, as an experienced coach with your staff and a team like this, how do you combat all of that and take it one day at a time, one meet at a time, as you come down the home stretch of this regular season?
Well, I mean, you got to make them realize what the real goal is. You got to keep a long-term goals ahead of short-term goals. You know, if you get wrapped up into short-term goals, like a win-loss thing, which is, has zero impact on our postseason ranking.
Right.
So it's something that you, it's a pride thing. You want to win, but if you're not healthy enough to go out there and put forth your best effort, but you can get better at an event, or you can increase your scoring potential by giving these two athletes, you know, some more experience. Those are the things that you now have to rely on. So that's, as a coaching staff, we've been really just trying to say, rather than just getting frustrated with the situation we're in, we're going to take advantage of it, get better in certain areas, so that when, look, people don't stay sick forever, they come back. When we get healthier, which I'm hoping is sooner rather than later, we want our scoring potential to explode. We need to pop. So, but what we've been doing is trying to put ourselves in the best position possible to pop when we get our right people back and put them in the right spots.
We've got head coach Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics with us on ESPN 106.7, and a couple of meets that you and your squad have been a part of since the last time we spoke. The home meet against Kentucky, the road trip to Baton Rouge, where you and your squad put up a great score, a 196.825. But coach, what do you do when LSU puts up over 198 on their own in their own building? I mean, that's incredible for the number two team in the country.
Yeah, I mean, look, some of that is just because you are more comfortable on your home equipment than the away equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they are capable of that score. So I'm not surprised that they're capable of mid-season of doing that score at home. So to me, for our young team, that's a real test for us. You know, can we withstand that as we're still putting, you know, trying to put our lineups together so that we can score, you know, can we get to a point where we can compete with that number two team in the country? I know for us, we're just trying to see if we can break into the top 10 right now. And then when we get healthy, then we can compete against them. But yeah, it's fun to watch. You know, look, they're really healthy right now. LSU is, and you know, 12,000 of their closest friends are in the arena helping them, you know, encouraging them. So, and definitely they ended up getting a 10 during Marissa Neal's beam routine. That's a pretty loud environment to try to finish your beam routine off. You know, I think it's a good test. It actually helps develop us and make us a stronger team.
Well, that's what's so unique about gymnastics is there's all these different factors and aspects that we don't normally think about in some of the other sports, right? But all these things happening and the girls having to compete with themselves, with the environment, against another opponent, but not really, but yes, at the same time. And so that's what makes the sport so unique. Auburn's still considered a top 20 team, according to the rankings right now, as you get ready for Alabama coming in this weekend for Auburn gymnastics. Again, that's going to be inside of Neville Arena. 7:45 start this Friday, coach, where the fans are encouraged to wear orange. We'll talk about the Tide and your team again here in just a moment. But the trip to Fort Worth this past weekend, want to pick your brain on this just a little bit. You competed against NC State, North Carolina, two top 25 teams, and then Boise State. But this was a quad, right? Four teams involved rather than just one-on-one on a Friday night. Can you explain for our listeners and maybe for your team in general, the difference in competing in a quad versus just one-on-one with another team across the way?
Yeah, well, it's a different pace. So there's four things, and this is what postseason is like. So we have a young team this year. I've been pretty vocal about that. We've got to learn on the job right now.
Right.
Well, one of the things you've got to learn before you get to postseason is how to compete in those events. So we were on a podium, which is a raised floor. It makes all the equipment, the sight lines different. It makes it bouncier. All kinds of things are different.
Hmm.
We're in a quad meet with two other top 20 teams, and the rotations are a little bit different. The pace is different. It's two events are really fast. Two events are really slow. The whole meet takes longer. So you have to pace yourself more. You know, there's a lot of things going on at the same time. All four events are going. So your focus is different. It's not just everybody stops and you're going. In some ways that's better. In some ways that's worse. So the best way to say it is it's pretty much everything's different. So that's part of the reason we did it. You know, obviously we wanted to go in there and get a decent score, But the main thing is we've got to go in and get good at bat before we get to the postseason, because last year I had seven seniors on the team, yeah. and they were doing, I think, like 16 routines for us. I didn't have to teach them how to compete in the postseason. They'd already all been through three or four seasons. This team is completely different. So a lot of this is just learning on the job, and that was baptism by fire.
And that was the 2026 Metroplex Challenge, again, this past weekend in Fort Worth, Texas, for Auburn Gymnastics. Another one coming up in the Elevate the Stage event, something that you and your program have competed in for several years now in Huntsville, coming up in mid-March. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. We've got Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, with us on the phone lines. And, Coach, this Friday, it's a big one. It's Auburn and Alabama. That itself, right, no matter what the sport is, always sells itself, but fans are encouraged to wear orange inside of Neville Arena on Friday, 7:45 start. What can you tell us about what this meet is and what Alabama brings to town?
Well, Alabama's in a really good spot right now. They're similar to what LSU was doing. They're pretty healthy. They're clicking on all cylinders. They're a little bit more experienced than us. So, you know, they're gonna bring their A game to town. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we're, you know, relying on is Neville Arena's environment helps us. You know, this young team, we're starting to get healthier. We're still pretty sick, beat up a little bit, but we can compete with anybody in the country on any given night if we can, you know, sort of trust ourselves, start to find our footing. And so no better place to do it than in Neville Arena against your arch rival. So, you know, we're excited because I'll take you on a little trip.
Okay.
Last year, Alabama was in the exact same spot we are. They were young, they were beat up, and they were ranked, we're ranked 18th right now, they were ranked 17th. This mm-hmm. week last year, we went up there and beat them, and they never looked the same after that. They caught fire after that. And what I'm trying to get my team to understand is, like, let's not have to wait for them to push us to get our fire lit. Let's get it lit before they come here.
Right.
And stop all this sickness and stuff like that. It's not excuses. Let's go attack. Right. Mm-hmm. You can motivate your Auburn gymnastics team when you talk about Alabama gymnastics coming to town. That's not difficult.
Well, it's exciting things coming up this Friday. Again, inside of Neville Arena, 7:45 start for Auburn Gymnastics on Friday, February 20th. Lots of opportunities, though, Coach, and I know you see that and you tell your team that as well. Alabama, you go on the road to Norman next week. You have Michigan State coming in over the spring break stuff. Again, that Elevate the Stage. And then Missouri inside of Neville Arena for the regular season finale. And you talk about your team getting healthy. Again, Jeff Graba, head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, with us on the phone lines. Talk about your team getting healthy, but there was an unfortunate announcement yesterday. Your sophomore, Sophia Bell, announced, and as did your program, announced that her season has come to an end, where she said she ruptured her Achilles during warmups. Coach, that's as sad as it gets, I think, and really hate to see that for a young star.
Yeah, and really tough for a young team. She was one of our leaders. She was what we call an anchor, one of the best athletes on two events for us. That happened before our LSU meet. And I thought the team, you know, obviously you got to make a lot of changes at the last minute. And I thought the team did a really good job of adjusting and had a full weekend of that. So, cause we ended up in Fort Worth as well. But man, you know, just heartbreaking for her. She was having a great season. And you know, this honestly, these Achilles ruptures are happening everywhere right now. In every sport, it's just, it's not been fun to be a part of, but the good thing is you can fully recover from those surgeries and come back and be as good or better than you used to be. So she's looking forward to her revenge tour coming back next year. And, you know, she's going to have the best medical care here at Auburn. So we're excited that she's actually starting the process of getting back to being 100%, but definitely heartbreaking and tough. But this is sports, you know, it's heartbreaking and tough a lot.
Yeah, well, I can only imagine the difficulty of a lower leg injury for a gymnast who legs are everything for them. I mean, that's really difficult, and really hate to see that for Sophia Bell, but excited to see her comeback story this time next year. But Auburn, inside of Neville Arena, Auburn Gymnastics hosting Alabama. It's the Iron Bowl in gymnastics. You'd wear orange, okay? Fans who are going to the arena this Friday, it's highly encouraged you do, man. We talk all the time, Coach. The atmosphere at Neville is unlike any other, and you said it again, and I'm going to let you do it one more time before we go. The atmosphere is important. It's the same way as football, basketball, softball, doesn't matter. The atmosphere helps your team. They feed off of that, and they need it this Friday against Alabama.
Absolutely, and it makes it harder for the other team, and there's no other team I'd rather make it hard for than Alabama, so, you know, let's do our best. Let's get everybody in there. You know, check the ticket office, see if there's standing room tickets available. You know, we need to pack that place. We need all the students there. You're encouraged to be massively loud. Get after it and support us.
Looking forward to it this Friday night against 7:45 Neville Arena for Auburn Gymnastics versus Alabama. Head coach Jeff Graba with us of Auburn Gymnastics. Always appreciate your time to talk with us on the radio. And we look forward to this Friday and the rest of the season.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader and home of Auburn women's basketball.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks again to Jeff Graba of Auburn Gymnastics, head coach for the Tigers, as they get ready for the Iron Bowl this Friday. Of course, Auburn, Alabama, inside of Neville Arena. And again, don't be fooled by Auburn Gymnastics and their win-loss record, because you heard him say it right there, it literally doesn't matter.
No.
Which is so wild to talk about and think about. But, I mean, he probably said it 8 to 10 times there. They just got to get healthy. They got to get not sick. I mean, there's a lot of things happening within their program, but always appreciate him and his time for joining us pretty much every 2 weeks right now before a home meets for Auburn Gymnastics. But speaking of Auburn, as we have a couple of minutes to wrap up hour number one, a reminder that Daryl Dapperich of Locked On Auburn in the Barn will be joining us at 3:05 to start hour number two, where we will kick off pretty much a full hour of Auburn basketball, college basketball conversation. I said it to open the show, Christian, as you were making your way back from Montgomery. You and I may have gone to our one and only Auburn baseball game this year, because we were in attendance last night, and Auburn did not play very well. 8-0, get blanked. I didn't go. Were you there?
No.
I had to work.
I forgot what I was doing, but...
Oh, no, I was sitting on... I was sitting in Plainsman Park.
Yeah.
And I tell you what I was doing. I was enjoying $2.50 hot dogs. That's what I was doing.
I enjoyed one too many of them.
Yeah, I did too. Not eating lunch yesterday was a bad idea. It was good in the moment, buddy. Oh, it was so good. That was good. Temperature was good. Crowd was pretty good. Auburn just didn't play good.
Cincinnati
man.
Was good.
Cincinnati was good.
Their social media pages taking some heat.
Oh,
have you seen the video that they said, let me change it up for you, and they made the Auburn dancing logo?
Yeah.
Or the video made it in red and black.
Yeah. But, you know, they have a right to be excited, because they played good, Auburn didn't. And through the first six innings, it was fine. Everything just fell apart for Auburn's pitching staff down the stretch. And look, at the end of the day, man, baseball's no different than any other sport in terms of you got to score to win, and you got to help your defense out sometime. And Auburn just simply didn't do it. Their bats have just they've struggled, man.
They have.
And it's a tough start to the year for the offense.
I'm by no means pressing any sort of panic button on the offense. I know that social media says one thing about getting worried up about the bats. You saw Cincinnati take a major page out of the book of Youngstown State of, we're going to start you off with off speed. We're then going to get our second strike with the fastball, and then we can go wherever we want. And they had better pitching than Youngstown State did. plain and simple. I mean, once you get to the point of where you start knowing what all of these teams have, scouting becomes a little bit easier, and the bats with the temperature are going to heat up. I have no worry about that side of things, especially when you go and you look at all of the other teams in the midweek that lost. Mm-hmm. Did you see all of, I mean, Charleston beat Coastal Carolina. You had Morehead State beat 18th-ranked Kentucky. You had, oh gosh, there was another big one in here as well. Where was it? Wake Forest had to hold off High Point, which was a crazy win. Ole Miss had to hold off Arkansas State.
I did see that.
Alabama had to hold off Samford. Game of the night, Georgia Tech beat Georgia Southern 25-1.
I did see that.
That was a one of the more crazy games.
Yeah.
There we go. UT Arlington beat 7th-ranked TCU 11-8. So, again, it's the midweek games that you, by no means am I taking this lightly for Auburn, but it means a lot for the midweek games for the teams that are listed as the underdogs when these – and Auburn's a little bit different because it was two Power 4 games, but figuring a lot of things out with your team. Cincinnati had a little bit more pieces that already had – fits into their puzzle, and so, again, by no means am I putting any sort of panic button yet on anything Auburn baseball.
Yeah, I was excited to see Alvarez get the start and Chatterton come in to relief. Those guys gave you 7 innings, but they gave up 10 hits combined, 3 earned runs, a couple of walks. They did have 11 strikeouts, but they just they struggled to find secondary and third pitches. I mean, it seemed
for
to
strikes,
be...
Yes.
For strikes, yes. Yeah, for strikes.
Very I mean, much so, and we noticed that... We noticed that 5 batters in, but even more so once the entire lineup hit and you hit the second time through, batters were sitting dead red. And, okay, I'm going to challenge you to throw me 3 straight breaking balls for strikes.
Yeah, and once you – look, Cincinnati is a solid team. And, again, they're a P4 squad. So I'm with you, though. I'm not overly worried about it. 4th game of the season for baseball, not that big of a deal. Somebody asked me, are we making too much of a deal out of midweek baseball? This early in the season, yes. A lot of fans are flipping out. Podcast and radio shows are stressing a little bit. Now, if this trend continues, that's a different story. But Auburn's got a chance to fix it this weekend. They head to Arlington and take on Kansas State, Florida State, and Louisville. Hour number one is in the books. Stick around. Double D, Daryl Dappertz joins us to start hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And if you missed any of our number one, you can go back and catch it with the podcast version of the show. I talked about Keyshawn Hall, his return tonight for Auburn basketball, what it means, and why Auburn could be in desperation mode tonight. Talked about that. Plus had Jeff Graba, the head coach of Auburn Gymnastics, join us. No Jordan Hill today, so we had Jeff Graba instead, who previewed Auburn and Alabama on the mat this Friday. So good conversation with him. He's always a blast and always a great interview, has great information, always supports supports his team. He tells it like it is. That's why we like having him on. And yeah. So hour number one was jam-packed, and hour number two will be the same. But if you missed any of that first hour, you can go back and listen to the podcast by downloading our Radio Alabama app or going to our station website at ESPNAU.com.
And here, when I was not in the studio, Jacob began giving a little bit of a breakdown for Auburn and Mississippi State. That is a lot of what hour number two is going to hold. We're getting our guy Daryl Dapridge, Double D of Locked On Auburn and the Barn here with us on the phone lines. We're going to dive into a whole lot of Auburn basketball conversations, both tonight and just over the past, and what Auburn needs to do moving forward to solidify their role in March, if they can still jump up a seed, if you are hitting desperation mode, all of those conversations before we head forward and talk about the matchup in Starkville here tonight. All of that coming up here in hour number two.
Let's get to the phone lines and welcome in our guy who joins us every Wednesday, 3:05. And we just keep waiting on the day he peels into the parking lot to join us in studio again. But we'll take what we can get, and we'll take Double Daryl. I did it too. Double D, Daryl Dapridge. Double Daryl, Double D, Daryl, I don't know, Daryl Double something like
nothing
that.
Nothing been known.
Yeah. Daryl, what's up, Darryl. My man? How are you on this Wednesday?
Well, I'm good. I know I've gained a little weight since high school. Never knew that I was going to refer to as Double Daryl, but it's all good. No, I can't wait to come back up there. I got to check the schedule and see when there's the next basketball game around that time, and I'll be glad to do it again on a Wednesday. That was a lot of fun.
Well, man, we have so much to talk about and catch up with you, and it really all hinges around Auburn basketball as we come down the home stretch. Only six games remaining on the regular season slate. Of course, we'll have whatever the SEC tournament looks like in Nashville, and the NCAA tournament, according to some, still up in the air for Auburn. Your evaluation, Daryl, on just what we've seen in this four-game losing streak for Auburn, and if the sky really is falling on the Plains right now?
I don't think it's falling. I think that anybody that was paying attention to this basketball team could see a bumpy road in this four-game stretch. I didn't anticipate it would be 0-4, you know, 1-3, 2-2, something like that. Felt like you could have got a couple of wins at home. There's just some things that happened. They faced some teams that were shooting the basketball at an extremely, extremely high level. When you go back and look at those four losses, what the other team shot from a field goal percentage and a three-point field goal percentage, the question remains, is that just unlucky running into a buzzsaw, or is Auburn defensively responsible for the other team's hot shooting? Are they not guarding like they were previously in the year? Are they not extending? Is the perimeter defense lacking? Is it effort? Is that why they're, you know, Hall was suspended? Is it a symptom of a greater issue on the team? And I know those questions will be asked. I feel like this next six games, that really all Auburn needs to do is go 500 and they're in the tournament. I think if you look at all the projections right now and all the bracketology and all that has them in the tournament, and if you went 3-3, you're really not gaining anything, you're not losing anything, I think that gets you in. I feel like Auburn's going to go 4-2 down the stretch. I really do. I think it starts with tonight. I think tonight is a definite must win. I think Mississippi State, although Chris Jans has been one of those guys that has given Auburn problems.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Auburn figures it out, and I think that they start get on the road back just like they were able to do earlier in the year when they had lost some big games by some big margins and then started 0-2 in conference. They righted the ship, won 5 of 6. I think they can win 4 of 6 and should get them in a position to maybe be a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament, because as we all know, guys, it means nothing in the SEC tournament. You're not going to move a seed line either up or down. It's just because they play that championship game on a Sunday, I think all that stuff locked in before they even get to Nashville.
Daryl, did want to ask, you hinted on it just a little bit, but the Keyshawn Hall storylines that are coming out of Auburn before Fayetteville, not playing, still traveling with the team, now is being cleared to play tonight. You expect him to not only travel, but again, to play on the floor for Stephen Pearl. And not as much on the Keyshawn side of things, but more so your thoughts on Stephen Pearl, because we have had a bunch of differing conversations in terms of people backing Stephen Pearl based off this decision of him coaching for the future, of this being something much bigger than Stephen Pearl versus Keyshawn Hall, whatever the case may be. But you've also had the people saying, well, you also have to look at it right now, and Auburn can't afford to lose games. Where does your mindset sit with this whole situation?
Yeah, interesting. I think Keyshawn Hall does play tonight. I don't know if he starts. He may come off the bench, but I think he'll play significant minutes, and I think he'll be focused and will help Auburn tonight. I really think that, you know, hopefully he's recalibrated, reset. Stephen got his attention. I feel like that Stephen Pearl is doing the right thing. I think that people that expected this team to get back even to a Sweet 16 with the roster that he was handed, albeit a talented roster, but a very disjointed roster, a roster that kind of came together late, didn't have much chemistry. You throw on top of that some untimely injuries, maybe a couple of misevaluations, and I think he's done a good job. Not during this four-game stretch, maybe, but I think he's trying to hold this team together. He's trying to develop a culture and say, look, you know, there's accountability. You have to defend to play for me. Body language matters, all that. I don't know, and I think it's interesting. The people that want to throw stones at him don't understand that he's trying to make his own niche and be his own person. And, you know, right away it was, oh, nepotism, Pearl's boy, baby Pearl, all that. Well, I mean, what do you want? Sometimes fans talk out of both sides of their mouth. It's like, yes, you want him to establish his own identity and be his own man. I believe 100% that he is probably a little bit more of a disciplinarian and has made some decisions during this basketball season when it comes to player substitutions, participation, whatever, that his father wouldn't have made. And that's okay. That's okay. He is trying to be, and if he gets this team in the tournament, it'll be, I think, a really, really good coaching job. And people need to understand that this team's ceiling was never greater than a Sweet 16. And I think even getting out of the first round, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament would be an accomplishment with what he was dealt and how these injuries have affected him. So I think he's done a good job. I think there's a lot to learn, and he can do a lot better. But I think anybody that thinks Bruce would have this team at a higher apex than Stephen does right now is being naive. I don't think so. I think maybe their losses may not have been as big of blowouts, and maybe an Alabama win there, here, or a Vanderbilt win. Maybe. But I think that this team is what it is. He's trying to get everything he can out of it and then recalibrate for next year.
We're talking with Daryl Dappert of Locked On Auburn in the Barn, Double D Wednesday here on ESPN 106.7. And to start the show today, Daryl, I said Auburn could be a desperate team tonight, no matter who plays. And Keyshawn Hall, if he starts or plays minutes or whatever, right, with performances we saw against Arkansas, four-game losing streak against a team that you are, on paper, significantly better than. Is Auburn a desperate team tonight? Are they a desperate team the rest of the way with six games to go? You said Auburn can make the tournament. You're confident in that. But do we smell any desperation tonight from the Tigers?
I do believe they're going to play with an aura of desperation and back against the wall, all the cliches, that you're going to see them play with some urgency. I'll say this, if they don't, then there is a problem. If Auburn comes out tonight and lays an egg and plays flat and does not realize and meet the moment and play with a sense of urgency, then I believe he may have lost his team. I don't think that'll happen, but I think that's a key indicator on how they play tonight with what they have to play for. If they come out flat and disinterested, there may be a significant issue with what kind of impact this, you know, they've stopped listening. I don't think that'll happen. I think you still got guys like Murphy and Sway and Jovich and Overton that are just, you know, absolutely fight and grind and will play with urgency. Pettiford seems to be stepping it up. So I expect them to play well tonight. I expect them to play with urgency. And I think that, you know, that's going to be more than enough to get the job done and kind of right this ship a little bit.
We've talked generically, Daryl. If you are going on Locked On Auburn after the game or at halftime, whatever the case may be, I guess more specifically after the game, and you are recapping an Auburn win in the hump here tonight, who and what are you talking about for the Auburn Tigers?
Pettiford. I have a feeling, you know, he's been playing a lot better lately. He plays well on the road, and he plays well in big moments and big games. And I could see him going for 20, 22, somewhere in that. I think Keyshawn Hall will come off the bench and offer some secondary scoring, but that's the key. Somebody else has got to emerge. Murphy did against Arkansas, but really nobody else till the second half got going. Either Freeman or Overton or Jovich, I thought he turned the corner against Arkansas in Auburn, in Neville, when he single-handedly, you know, they destroyed Arkansas, and he was a big part of that. I think somebody's got to step up and fill that void, and the secondary scoring has been a disappointment to me.
Yeah.
And so you've got to get a little bit more balance. But I think Pettiford leads the way tonight. I think Murphy is going to be – you got to check his emotions a little bit tonight, playing against his former team.
It's true.
In his former arena. Yeah. You know how that can go emotionally. Yeah. You got to calm that down a little bit so he's not overhyped, doesn't try to do too much. But I think Pettiford is looking to have another one of those games, a defining game.
Auburn's on the road at Mississippi State tonight. 8 o'clock tip in Stark, Vegas. You'll have the radio broadcast here locally in Auburn Opelika on Wings 94.3. The birthday boy, Andy Burcham, will be on the call tonight.
Yes, the birthday boy.
Yes, he will be on the call.
Andy Burcham is 35 today. That's incredible.
I know. That's 1 year younger than you, my friend.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, hey, this has nothing to do with Auburn, but it is college basketball related, and I wanted to bring it up because you will understand the magnitude of this. Just got announced about 20 minutes ago, JT Toppin has torn his ACL for Texas Tech. He's out for the year, Daryl.
Yeah, that's a big thing. I mean, obviously, Texas Tech, they get beat by Arizona State last night, which – you know, where was that when they were playing Arizona? Not Toppin getting hurt, but, you know, the way Texas Tech played last night. That's a big loss. And I think that's a story. And another story is, when is somebody going to punch Mick Cronin in the throat and keep him in check? Because that Mick Cronin, he is an embarrassment to college basketball. Did you guys see what he did to that reporter yesterday?
Yeah, kudos for the stupidest question you've ever asked.
Daryl, what would you do as a reporter? What would you do?
Well, here's what I would have done. I would have said, you're right, that was the stupidest, worst question that you've ever heard, but your coaching performance in the Big Ten this year is the worst that I've witnessed. So we're even. And, you know, then he kind of bows up. He's got such little man syndrome that you can tell he just deserves a you-know-what whooping, and that he hasn't had one. And so
Dale, are you raising your voice at us right now? Are you raising your voice?
I mean, that's just amazing. The guy didn't raise his voice.
No.
You know, and he wants to bow up and act all intimidating. He's a little punk. And I cannot – he has been for a long time one of my least favorite coaches in America. And the other guy was that Fran McCaffrey that finally retired from Iowa. That was he was a clown. Remember, he'd get into those staring contests with the officials and wine. You know, we think we have it rough in the SEC. People want to talk about Calipari and Nate Oates and when Bruce Pearl was here. You know, people shot arrows and swung arrows at them. Could you imagine any of them ever saying or doing something like that or acting that way? They just wouldn't.
Yeah.
He's a clown. And, you know, someone deserves to put him in his place. That's why I give that, although I don't like the dude from Ole Miss, that Spirit Chuck, whatever his name is, he's kind of a clown too. But he at least went back into that press conference and confronted Lane Kiffin after Lane Kiffin kind of went at him in the end zone. I give him credit for that. And he made Lane Kiffin kind of back down what he was saying. Somebody needs to do that to Cronin. Somebody needs to call him out and make him understand that, you know, he's not as big and bad as he thinks he is.
All that came after he threw out one of his own players when they were down by 25.
Which was just such a grandstanding move, you know. That is him. You know why he does that? Because he's a narcissist that's an egomaniac, and everyone will say, oh, look what he did. Look what he did. He threw out his own player. Everything is about him. God, I wish UCLA would play Auburn so bad.
See, the difference is UCLA –
in a tournament or something.
They're not going to make the tournament. That's the difference. UCLA's not a tournament
team. I wish they would do a home and home.
Oh, gosh. Could you imagine?
Oh, that would be gorgeous. I would love to cut short an episode of Locked on Auburn and run down to the visitor's locker room and ask a couple questions and raise my voice.
Well, Daryl, since
I was raised in an Italian family. I just talked.
Since we are on the topic of conversation outside of Auburn, two really big games tonight, Arkansas and Alabama. Your quick thoughts on that? And then your Arizona Wildcats hosting BYU. Your thoughts on that one as well?
With Koa Pete out for several weeks, right?
Yeah, Pete's out. I think if he would have had him down the stretch against Texas Tech, that could have been huge. I think that's why they blew that lead. I mean, he's just such a big, big part of that basketball team. They're struggling. I think they'll get it. They've got some depth. I think they also get it turned around tonight. Arkansas-Alabama is very interesting because if both teams could flat out shoot the basketball, that game could get in the hundreds. But, you know, I just think that Alabama's hot right now, and we'll see if it can continue. That game is in Coleman, correct?
Yes. Alabama hosting Arkansas tonight.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think Alabama wins that game in a squeaker. But, you know, they've lost a couple games at home that, you know, Texas A&M and I think it was who else beat them? Texas A&M beat them at home and Texas. No, Texas beat them at home. And
who, Arkansas or Alabama?
Alabama. Alabama lost to Texas at home and somebody else at home.
It was Vanderbilt, no?
Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, yes. So they've lost a couple at home. So
No. Tennessee was at home. Sorry, Tennessee was at
home
for Alabama.
Yes.
They went to
Vanderbilt
Nashville.
Was the home opener for Nashville. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah, two
so
good
we'll
games.
See. Good games. Good games tonight to check out. And, again, 8 o'clock tip for Auburn. So those that like to join us on our post-game live reaction show, just drink lots of coffee and we'll be there with you, you know, to bring it down the home stretch.
Well, Daryl, plug it all, my man. Tell people where they can find all the post game stuff when they're ready.
Well, also we do that Barncast, which is a lot of fun. We get some guys on and we do like a watch along. Kyle Rush, Zach, Hunter Bussey, we get on there and we watch the game and comment during the game. I haven't been able to do it as much because I like watching the game so that I can give insight when it's over. But it's kind of fun. We do that, and then I stay on at halftime on the Barn. Just go wherever you – to YouTube or the Barn website. You can check that out. And then we'll go live right after Mississippi State-Auburn tonight. A Locked on Auburn dropped this morning. We'll have another one drop Friday wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple, and on YouTube. And then Sunday night, we like to do a little wrap-up at 8 o'clock. We do like a live show, kind of recapping the weekend Auburn athletics. And there's a lot to recap. Disappointing loss last night for baseball. It really is.
Yeah, it was. That was tough to watch, but I believe they bounce back this weekend when they go to Texas. Daryl, we appreciate you, my man. Daryl Dapper's Locked on Auburn in the Barn with us every Wednesday at 3:05 here on ESPN 106.7. Always appreciate the time, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl Dapper's Locked on Auburn in the Barn. Check it out. Like you said, wherever you get your podcast, he is a great friend of ours, great friend of the program as well. And, his Arizona Wildcats, Koa Pete out for several weeks. And then, JT Toppin, man, out for the year.
Yeah, that one hurts just for college basketball, right? I mean, Toppin was somebody that came back to play another year of college basketball and try and win a national championship. And so to have an injury like that, definitely something that hurts one of the teams that had a legit chance of winning a national title.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will talk some more college basketball, some of those games from last night, games tonight as well, and then we dive into Auburn and Mississippi State, how the Tigers can get back in the win column. Phone lines are open the rest of the show. If you have thoughts on tonight's game, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. You can give us a call. We'll talk college basketball right after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Just got off the phone with our man, Daryl Dapprich, Double D, Daryl Dapprich, not Double Daryl, not Daryl
Doug
Dimmadome.
Doug Dimmadome.
I'm Doug Dimmadome.
Do you know
I can't, remember it. Not on the air. I can't get through it without laughing. I can't. I can't do it. I used to know it when I was a kid, but I can't get through it without laughing. Now we gotta look it up. Do you know it, Tripp? Of course he knows it. Of course. Pull your mic up. Go ahead, Tripp. Here we go. Here's
Welcome to On the Line.
It's our new production
radio
assistant.
Debut, yep. I thought I'd make.
Yep, production assistant Tripp Upton with
us. Yes, because this used to be actually the name on my iPhone for when I was in high school because I thought I was so cool.
This is what you had your phone like call you?
So like when in your settings when you could put like, you know, Jacob's iPhone, my iPhone was Doug Dibidome, owner of the Dimmsdale Dibidome's iPhone. And his son, you know, Dale Dibidome, owner of the Dimmsdale fortune.
There you go, man. Can you tell that he's a couple of years younger than us? Not by much, but I mean, we grew up watching the same thing. It's God, good for you.
I didn't know that it was that deep.
Doug, I didn't know he had a son.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't either.
Now, bonus points for anybody that sends us a text in the online text box.
Tripp looked at us like, yeah, he's got a son.
Yeah. Send us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067, and tell us what TV show we're talking about. Bonus points for anybody that can do that. Surely somebody had a kid out there that watched that show growing up.
I mean,
I would hope so. Maybe.
Good thing
not.
If you search up Dub Dimmadome.
Yeah, you're not allowed to Google it. You got to do it. You got to do it off the dome. Ha. That was unintentional, but it worked. You have nothing? You have no way to counter that or transition out of that? Come on,
I
man.
Don't know. I was going to let you just...
Golly. It's your show too, man.
I was going to let you just recover from...
I wasn't. I was just going to move on.
You're in a great spot. No, we do appreciate Doug Dimmadome, Daryl Dapperich for joining us on the phone lines. We do. We need to get him back in the studio. We see cars drive by, and anytime there's an orange one, you hold your breath for a little bit and hope that it's a Jeep with the windows partially rolled down.
I wish. He'll get in here soon. He'll get in here. He'll end up coming here to cover like a baseball series or something.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get him back in the studio. But we have like a minute or so. We'll take our bottom of the hour break. We'll come back and talk all things Auburn and Mississippi State basketball tonight.
We don't have another Wednesday night basketball game.
No, we have some more midweeks, but I don't even know if they're at. The only midweek is the LSU game.
But even if it was just to, I guess that's true. Yeah. But yeah, the rest of our games are all Tuesdays.
Yeah. Which, the problem with the LSU game is it's so late. Daryl coming to Auburn to be on our show from 2 to 4, he would have 5 hours
to
kill.
We'd be able
to
go to dinner afterwards.
We literally would be able to continue working, go to dinner, go to Neville, and still have time to walk around before that game starts.
9 o'clock, baby.
That's horrible. That is horrible. Tonight's not much better. 8 o'clock starts are not fun, which is what Auburn has tonight. Arkansas and Alabama play at 6. BYU, Arizona is at 8. Other than that, nothing crazy. Can Missouri pull off the upset against Vanderbilt tonight in Como?
Whoa. Scroll all the way down on that top 25.
Oh, I know who's playing tonight. Don't ask me if I'm staying up to watch my Zags lose to San Francisco, but it could happen at the Sobrato Center, baby. San Francisco favored, or excuse me, they are 14.5-point underdogs. So
who cares?
You never know. We'll talk Auburn, Mississippi State right after this.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, and we now talk Auburn and Mississippi State, the Tigers and the Dogs. And, Christian, I can't get a read on how Auburn fans feel about this game tonight. I don't know if there is excitement. I don't know if there's nervousness. I don't know if there's just about it. I don't know. I can't get a read because I think there are several who are kind of all over the place here and a lot of fans that don't really know how to feel about this game tonight because if you win it, from the outside looking in, it's like, cool. I mean, all right, you beat a under 500 team in SEC play, under 500 team on the year. whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
But for Auburn fans, it's like, please win. Please win this game. So I don't know. I don't know how fans feel about it.
This is one of those games that we talked about early in the season of very similar to what we kind of look at South Carolina right now, where I guess the game itself against South Carolina, you breathe a mini sigh of relief because you got that win, but it's one that you don't look at as anything program building or any resume building. Mm-hmm. But if you lose that game, you would sit there and highlight it every single time you looked at the schedule. I feel like that would be a very similar game here. Maybe not as bad since it is on the road. And looking at history, going back to 2018-2019 season, Auburn has split their last four meetings at the hump. And so, again, the home team has a decent percentage in this basketball game. And, again, there's a little less desperation right now for Mississippi State. You mentioned, again, a really good win over Ole Miss on the road, where three of their four conference wins are away from home. And so you don't really know what you're going to expect other than Josh Hubbard attempting to have a career night every single night.
God, he's so good, man. I do worry about Auburn guarding him. I do.
Wait, well, he had 32 or 34 at Ole Miss.
Who gets that assignment? Is that KO? That would, I mean, I don't trust, I love the guy, but I don't trust Tahad to guard him one-on-one.
Well, especially if Keyshawn's minutes are limited, you can't afford to get Tahad in foul trouble either.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could be a Kevin Overton, Elijah Freeman type of thing, but Auburn willingly switches everything.
God,
so
yeah, you're right.
It could just be whoever is on him that time down the trip, and if they don't like it, it'll be a ball screen, and they'll get the matchup
they
want.
Yeah, I mean, do you think State
we've talked
just,
about that all season long.
They just start running high ball screens.
The
and
willingness to switch. They did it with Bediako in Alabama. They did it with Nate Ement. Just getting mismatches because Auburn just willingly switches. And you understand it with the guards, but how many times do we see Filip Jovic guarding the point guard, and all of a sudden it's Tahad Pettiford guarding somebody that's 7'2".
Yeah, and you look
down low and trying to he's trying to not let him front the post, and big man just has his elbow sitting on Tahad Pettiford's nameplate because of the mismatch.
I'm a believer, though, in basketball. If you are undersized in the post, right, if there is a mismatch for whatever reason, I've always been, and maybe this was just how I was playing, but you know, the high level.
Oh, no, not 3 and D.
The level high school basketball that I played.
3 and D rec.
Yeah.
Basketball.
Hey, man, I was nasty at the rec. Okay?
What, court 2?
Court 3. No. Oh. Court 2 if it was not busy. But then I got bumped to court 3 when it got busy. You know, like after 6.
Court, I was
going to
say court 2 from, you
court
know.
2 on certain nights or, yeah, after 6 it was court 3. But that's where you have to walk around the corner and go, you know, in between the bathrooms to get to the rest of the floors, you know. But I was running that court, buddy. That's where a lot of my guys, where we weren't great.
You're
but
not
we
necessarily
were,
playing above the rim on court 3.
Correct. But you still got some hoopers out there, right? But I always believe in basketball that if there's a mismatch in the post, the smaller defender against the bigger offensive player, why would you front? Because you're not going to win. I don't care how high you can jump. All they got to do is throw it up and let the big guy go get it. At least give yourself a chance and do the little arm bar back into them. Don't get called, but get behind them. Make them make a play because then you give yourself a chance to have some help defense. I understand if you're fronting, they can throw it over the top. You're expecting the help defense, but
more times than not, that's late.
Correct.
Not even with Auburn, just in
late
college basketball.
Or foul or both.
Late, foul, kick out, one more. So many different options.
So
that
I don't
happen.
Know. That's just how I always feel in basketball.
I mean, just the simple terminology is put yourself between them and the goal.
Exactly.
Make them shoot over you even if you are 6'1", 6'2". Yeah.
And if they make it or, you know, just run you over, then you live with it, but at least you tried. So, but yeah, Auburn tonight, Josh Hubbard is the guy to know for Mississippi State. For folks who have not seen him, he is one of the best players in the SEC. He just plays on a really bad team.
Yeah, going back, he did. He had 32 against Ole Miss on 12 of 16 shooting, 4 of 6 from deep, and 6 assists.
And the drop-off after Josh Hubbard. Okay, Jaden Epps has played in 23 of their games this season. He is another guard who averages 14 points a game. Okay, he had 12 against Ole Miss, dropped 23 on the road against Missouri at the end of January. So that guy can play too. He's 6'2", 190. Somebody that averages 14, 3, and 2. Shoots it at about 40% or so from the floor. Not a major three-point threat, just more of a get-downhill type of a guy. Then after that, I mean, I just don't know what Mississippi State's going to throw at Auburn. They've got a center in Quincy Ballard. He is 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And he averages 6-6, but can Auburn compete with that? I think Keyshawn Murphy's proven he can.
You have two primary scorers for Mississippi State that can go and make shots. You look after that, you mentioned Hubbard and Epps, who combine for 35.7 points a night. After that, it's a lot of rebounding. There's 6 rebounds, 6.5 rebounds, 5.5 rebounds. A lot of those points come on offensive rebounds. And so if you are Auburn, you have to force this Mississippi State team to shoot from the perimeter, which I'm sure saying that means that Mississippi State will have a record night from deep. But force them to shoot from behind the perimeter and force Mississippi State to be one and done in their own floor. That is going to be the recipe for success. I don't necessarily question Auburn's offensive ability. They're going to score points. They'll score as many points as Mississippi State will let them score based off of the tempo that Mississippi State plays with, because Auburn's not going to play with a lot of tempo. But if Mississippi State slows down to match, what is their adjusted tempo in KenPom? Is that what, man, we were together too much.
Yep, working on it.
Because, again, what their adjusted tempo determines if Auburn needs to win this game trying to get into the low 70s, the 80s, or if it needs to get into somewhere in the 90s.
Adjusted tempo is 88th for Mississippi State.
Okay, so they play. I mean, what is Auburn like?
Auburn is, hold on, we are.
We were low 200s.
199.
Okay, so we've crept our way up.
Cracked the top 200. Yeah, so Mississippi State, for folks that don't understand the KenPom stuff, they are a much faster team. They're not the fastest in the world in terms of their tempo, get up and down the floor, but they play faster than Auburn does.
I mean, based off of that, they basically play twice as fast as Auburn does.
That's in terms of the ranking. I mean, the number itself isn't that drastic,
sure.
But they play faster.
They play a lot faster, and it's so weird to look
You'll never guess who the fastest team in America is, according to adjusted tempo.
Oh, do we happen to play them?
Last game of the regular season,
what?
As a matter
no
of
way.
Fact.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Crazy. Would you have guessed that Michigan is a top 11 team in adjusted tempo?
They're from a standpoint of just how many possessions they get.
Maybe, yeah. I just didn't think with the bigs that they have that they would get up and down the floor. But 11th in adjusted tempo.
You want to know what really hurts is go look at offensive efficiency. Go look at where Auburn sits.
The offensive rating?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Auburn is a top 10 team.
Auburn's the 10th ranked team
yep.
in adjusted offense. But you play so slow that you don't always see it.
Mm-hmm. Defensive rating 93rd right now. For what it's
worth. I was going to say, what is state?
I was going to say Auburn's.
Sorry, I forgot my laptop,
rating.
So I'm having to ask questions.
Auburn's luck rating is horrific, 283. But, Mississippi State in offensive rating, I just had it pulled up. Where'd they go? It's not good. It's not good at all. But, I don't know. I lost it. It's gone. R.I.P.
Let's command F.
Ah, here we go. Here we go. 120th in offensive rating. So,
again, two primary scorers, and then a lot is going to be thrown on the offensive glass, kick back out to Josh Hubbard, and if he needs to shoot it 35 times tonight to try and get a win, he will.
I'll say it, and I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. Auburn, your season relies on how you play tonight.
It's not on the line in terms of the last game you play, but it's on the line in the last meaningful game that you play if you don't win tonight.
If you don't win, and that's what I was saying earlier, is if you can't find a way to respond in this game, if you can't find a way to buckle down and play halfway decent basketball in this game, if Keyshawn Hall can't get it together in this game, if Tahad Pettiford can't string together two games in a row in this game, if Auburn can't hear their head coach scream at them to play defense in this game, where again, you don't necessarily need all those things to win, then you're in big trouble.
And you will be able to hear him very clearly, as will the referees tonight, inside that arena
it'll
tonight.
Be 60% full if you're
at
lucky.
At best, yeah.
Yeah, if you're lucky. Like, and that's what's so unfortunate is...
So crowd, if anybody's got the crowd mic for the national broadcast, just turn it down.
Yeah,
if you're...
I mean, the results should not be in question tonight, but at this point, other than the win, I'm not even looking for that.
But again, we say that... That it shouldn't be in question. Auburn's only a 4-point favorite. They're expecting this to be a very, very close game.
Yeah, I mean.
Which, 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't believe. But now, off the losing side of things.
You just don't know what you're going to get.
You're at the point of just any sort of win you can get, even if it's by a point. You got to find a way to win tonight.
Yeah, and then, of course, coming up, you've got Kentucky at home this Saturday, Oklahoma on the road next week, Ole Miss at home the following Saturday, LSU at home in the late-night midweek game before you go to Tuscaloosa on March 7th to wrap up the regular season. And here's the problem with those games. Yes, they're easy. Yes, they are manageable. Yes, they are winnable. But Auburn's running out of chances to prove to the tournament committee that they are worthy, which sounds bad, but it's true. That's how the tournament committee is almighty God, and you've got to prove why you belong in their tournament, their house, right? But Kentucky is not a tournament win right now. They got beat by Georgia last night in Rupp Arena for the first time in a long time.
I still think that's a tournament win. What is, I mean, Kentucky was...
It's on your home floor, though. That's the problem.
It is, but I still think that that's... I still think that would be a very quality win for Auburn.
Maybe in the eyes of the committee, but I don't care.
Did Kentucky drop
what they
to,
say.
Since it's at home, is that no longer a quad one game? What is Kentucky's?
They are 30th right now. They are 30th, so it is borderline. It is borderline, and that is probably adjusted for Kentucky's loss last night.
Yeah.
They're 3-2 in quad two games, though, which Auburn could beat tonight. Auburn could pick up its second quad two loss tonight if they lose. Because Mississippi State's 90-something in the net. So, yes, as of right now, technically, Kentucky is a quad one game for Auburn on your home floor on Saturday.
Even if it is a quad two win when you play it, getting back-to-back wins is something that you have to have.
But does a home win against Kentucky make you feel good about what Auburn can do in the tournament? It doesn't for me.
It depends on which Kentucky team takes the floor. If you win a really good game against Otega Owe, who plays really, really well, and Aberdeen, who plays really, really well, then I think yes. But if this is one of those games that, yeah, you saw every other Kentucky team take the floor, and when you just don't know who they're going to get, and we might have a little bit of a insider talk about this game coming up here on Friday. But I don't know. I still think the name carries a lot of weight of Kentucky, where it still goes down as a very nice win if they're able to get it.
It's the wins for Kentucky that are keeping them alive. Some of their losses are not pretty. Their losses are not terrible in SEC play, but two wins over Tennessee, a win over Arkansas, that'll do it. That'll help, right? That'll absolutely keep your head above water. That win against Indiana, I think, is still a quad one. I don't know. I think that was in Lexington. So
what
it
is,
may not be. They beat St. John's also, so don't forget that.
What is Kentucky's I forgot the official. Is it adjusted strength of schedule? Because Auburn is the number one team according to strength of schedule, which is another thing that keeps their head above water right now in the tournament. But where does
Kentucky strength of
sit?
Schedule, their net rating strength of schedule, the Kentucky Wildcats are 8th.
Okay. So
that's
why. Again.
But here's what's stupid to me is with the tournament committee, and I was talking about this earlier, between that number on KenPom and your quad one, not even your record, just your quad one number of games that you've played, that's all they care about.
Yeah.
They don't even care if you win. It's like, oh, but you played a tough schedule, so we're going to reward you for that because we think you can compete in the tournament. But God forbid you lose those games. Auburn's 4-10.
It's like Purdue scheduling Oregon and Ohio State and Indiana in football and saying, well, college football playoff committee, we didn't win them, but we at least played them.
And that's how they think. That's how they see teams. That's how they put teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
How idiotic is that? Oh, congratulations. You scheduled that team 4 years ago. Good job. Nicely done. Oh, you just happened to run into them in a tournament back in November. Good job. We believe in you. Like, that's bad. Like, why? why would you reward Auburn for being 4-10 against tournament quality teams? That's horrific. That's why I don't understand. That's why this Saturday, and not to put the cart before the horse here, because Auburn's got to take care of Mississippi State tonight. I don't, unless Auburn, again, I don't know how good I feel after Auburn beating Kentucky on Saturday would make me feel in terms of what Auburn could do in the tournament. Auburn wins out? Okay, we're back. I'm good. We're back where we need to be. But Auburn can't worry about the next five games on their schedule. They got to worry about the game that's coming up tonight on the road to Mississippi State. We'll talk about that, give our final thoughts, and wrap up the show right after this here on ESPN 106.7.
This is Coach Stephen Pearl, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes as we are about to hand it off to the drive, and I see a legend out in the lobby. Coach Don Dunn is going to be on the drive today. So that's appointment listening, folks. If you have not heard Coach Don Dunn talking on the radio, then you're missing out. His stories are remarkable. His laugh is even better, and one of the nicest guys you will ever meet in this world, him and his wonderful wife, Donna, as well. So the drive's coming up from 4 to 6. Today's Wednesday, so women's basketball is in action tomorrow. Baseball is in action this weekend, but men's basketball is in action tonight. They're in Starkville as Andy Burch and Randall Dickey will have the call. 7:30 pregame air, or 7:30 pregame tip-off set for 8 over on Wings 94.3 here locally in Auburn and Opelika. Christian, your final thoughts and predictions on Auburn and Mississippi State. Actually, tell me who wins first. Arkansas on the road in Tuscaloosa tonight. Hogs and Tide. Who you got? Top 25 matchup. That I don't know if it'll quite determine the SEC at the end of the day, but I mean, two of the top teams in the SEC.
This is just one of those games that you feel like it's too easy to say that it's going to be a really, really good game. I just worry that the speed that Alabama plays with, especially at home.
You don't think Arkansas could keep up?
On maybe a neutral site floor, but this just feels like one of those games that ends up being a really nice win for Alabama. So I'll take the Crimson Tide at home in the hangar.
Bama favored by 3.5.
That dropped. It was 4.5. And then, but also, in case you were worried, you don't have to be anymore because Auburn went from a 4.5-point favorite to a 5.5-point favorite.
Oh. Why are you looking at spreads?
It didn't. It just refreshed on my ESPN. It refreshed on my ESPN app on my computer.
Listen to this number. The total in the Alabama-Arkansas game, 185.
Holy cow.
185 is the total for that game tonight. In comparison, Auburn and Mississippi State, 185.5. Keep that in your brain. Keep it out there. 155 for Auburn, Mississippi State. There is a 30-point betting difference between Auburn, Mississippi State, and Alabama, Arkansas tonight.
That's absurd.
I'll take the Tide to win and cover.
Yeah, I will as well.
Auburn, Mississippi State, final thoughts, 8 o'clock tonight over on Wings 94.3. Can the Tigers get off the losing streak? How much does Keyshawn Hall play? And do the Tigers look competent tonight?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, no, maybe, question mark, kind of. I think Auburn wins. I don't know how pretty it looks. And man, how relieving would it be to be able to walk out of here and talk about it tomorrow with a 20-point win? Obviously, that would be the best thing. That means great offense and great defense for the Auburn Tigers. I think it's a struggle. I think that Mississippi State plays well in their home gym. I think Auburn has to grind it out. But I think Auburn has more talent on the floor, and under the four-minute timeout, they can get it done.
Yeah, I think Auburn prevails from talent alone, and maybe they feed off of that into Kentucky this weekend. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC as well, 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.